And good evening, everyone. Well, I think we're going to get some feedback or something. Maybe you can, turn me down. Let's try that again. That was, it could be more ganky, let's just say that. Good evening, everyone. That was a little bit better. I felt some love there, that was good. If you have a Bible, you can turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 to 19 is what we're going to be reading. For 1 Peter 1, 18 to 19, says this: "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Let us pray together. Lord, we have entered into a Christmas season once again. And during this season, we want to truly worship you. As we were just singing about, your name is powerful, your name is wonderful, and we want this Christmas season to be about you and your name and your glory, Lord. The reason that we celebrate, we want it to be about Jesus. So I pray that you might move our hearts to be centered on you, Jesus. We might understand the reason for Christmas, the cross of Christmas, that might be in our hearts and in our minds, so that we would worship you aright during this Christmas time. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is interesting what people focus on during Christmas time. In Japan, I am sure that Kentucky Fried Chicken and all of the bakeries, as well as places that people love to go out on a date, are very happy about Christmas time. I'm sure that they're thinking, we're going to make a lot of money right now. It's going to be great for us. It has become a day of chicken, of Christmas cake, of lights, of dates. Not that there's anything wrong with all that stuff, by the way, but that's what's going on. And in the U.S. where I'm from, and probably in other countries in the Western world, I don't really know, but I would assume, Christmas has become a holiday to spend time with your family. That's what it's really about, to give gifts to one another, to enjoy one another's company with the lights and the tree and the Santa Claus and the Christmas meal and all of that. That's what Christmas has become about. And again, I would want to say there's nothing wrong with these things. There's nothing wrong with the lights and the Christmas tree and the cake and all of that. But it is possible, in the midst of all of the lights and all of the trees and the chicken and the cake and the family time and the dates, to completely forget about the whole purpose and meaning of Christmas. It's possible to do that. I read an article that said that several churches in the United States, including some very famous ones that you maybe might have even heard about, will be canceling their services on Christmas Day, so that families can spend time together. And when I read that and I thought about that, I thought, wow, that is a huge misunderstanding of the whole point of Christmas. We cannot forget the true meaning of Christmas. We cannot forget the true gift of Christmas. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about his cross. In other words, as we will see as we go through this message, minus the gift of the cross of Jesus Christ, there is no Christmas. If we take that out, there's no reason to celebrate. There's no reason to sing Christmas songs. There's no reason to do any of that. Therefore, if we want to celebrate Christmas correctly, we must remember the cross of Christmas. Now, I want to encourage us all to celebrate Christmas with the right mindset, and we will do this by examining our text for tonight, and through it, we're going to learn 5 things about the cross. Now, I would warn you right now, as I just said, usually if you've heard me preach many times, you're used to 3 points. I got 5, so be prepared for that, okay, tonight. So make sure you follow along in your message notes because we're going to hit 5 of them, okay? So there's 5 things that we're going to learn about the cross, which is the gift of Christmas. And here are the 5. First, the gift that's given. Next, the value of the gift. Next, our unworthiness to receive the gift. Fourth, the love of Christ in giving this gift. And 5th, our response to it. I'll go over that one more time. The gift that is given. The value of that gift, our unworthiness to receive that gift, the love of Christ in giving us that gift, and our response to that gift. Those are the 5 things we're going to look at. So if you follow along with me in your message notes, we're going to start with the first thing, the gift given to us. We'll go back to our scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. I'll read a little bit of that, and it says this, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers with the blood of Christ. Now, the whole point of Christmas, the whole reason that we celebrate Christmas is because of the coming of Jesus Christ, right? That's what it's all about. Jesus Christ coming to this world. This is an important event, and it's celebrated by the angels. It's celebrated by the wise men. It's celebrated in our church. It's celebrated all around the world. But what makes that event so important that we all celebrate it? What is the reason for the celebration? The reason it is important is the reason that Jesus came. That's the reason. The Bible is very clear as to why Jesus came to this earth, leaving his place in heaven and taking upon himself feeble human nature, and it was to die. That's the reason. As we read in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus Christ came to give his life as a ransom for many. He was fully aware of this. He told his disciples about this many, many times. In fact, for example, here in Mark chapter 9, verse 31, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. Jesus Christ, slain on the cross, his body broken and his blood shed so that we could be forgiven for our sins, for our rebellion against God, is the gift of Christmas. That is what it's really all about. Though it was not on Christmas Day when Jesus came that he died, it was not that same day, yet it was with this purpose. It was that very purpose why he came from the very beginning. Therefore, the purpose of Christmas, the purpose of Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, coming to this world, was for him to go to the cross. That was the whole purpose for him coming. The second thing we want to look at is the value of the gift. Going back to our scripture in 1 Peter chapter 1, I want to read some of that. Ransomed not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. Now in these words, we see that the gift given, namely the blood of Jesus, is of such value that it's unlike anything else that we could possibly even imagine. It is of greater value than anything else. And it is the first, when we look at our scripture, it's first compared to silver and gold. Now, some of the most valuable substances in the world, if we could think of them, might be obviously money. That's one of them. But precious diamonds, precious stones, silver, and gold. Those are some of the most valuable things that we could really think of. And if we wanted to give a gift to somebody, let's say I wanted to give a really great gift, and I got all these precious diamonds and precious stones and silver and gold, and I gave it, people would be like, whoa, that was amazing. Thank you so much. They might do that. But even if I were to collect all of the money in all of the world, all of the gold, all of the silver, all of the precious diamonds, all of the precious stones, and get them all together, all the money, and give it to somebody and say, here's the gift for you, it would not be anything in comparison to the blood of Jesus Christ. And the first reason for this, if you're like, well, why is that? The first reason for this is because it is not perishable. You see, silver and gold can perish, but praise God, Jesus Christ will never perish. His blood is eternal blood. His blood is the blood of God. Therefore, his blood is perfect, which is why it is without blemish and without spot. But not only is it a valuable gift because it is the blood of God, but second, it is his blood that is used to ransom you. That's why he gave the blood, to save you. If you or I were going to be punished, let's say that we were going to be punished or we were going to be killed, and the only ransom that could save us is someone else's blood being spilled for us. If they said, okay, the way that we'll save you from being killed, Chris, is that I'm going to have my blood spilled. If somebody would say they would do that for me, that would be pretty awesome and amazing already, just to have that. But even more amazing than that is if the person was someone who was very highly respected and known, a president of a country, for example, the president of the United States doing that, or the prime minister of Japan saying, Chris, for you, I will spill my blood so that you do not have to die. But it was God who said he would shed his own blood so that you could be ransomed. There is no blood that has greater value than the blood of God. Third thing, Christ gave us this gift through his suffering, which was infinitely horrible. When Jesus was about to be arrested and go to the cross to suffer and die, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm sure some of you know that. You know about that. It was at that time when Christ thought about the suffering that he was going to have, that he was going to endure. And the suffering was so great that when Jesus Christ thought about it, it made his soul sorrowful and gave him agony, and he sweat blood. That's what it says happened. Matthew 26, verse 38. Then he said to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me. Luke 22, verse 44. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, I don't know if you've ever felt your soul being swallowed up and swallowed up in sorrow that was so deep, so immense that you felt like death was coming and closing in on you. I don't know if you've ever experienced that or some great kind of agony that swallowed up all your soul, but Jesus Christ has. He experienced that. Jesus Christ, who is God, was faced with something that was so horrible, so horrifying, that even though he was God, even though he's God, he was in agony when he faced this, even thinking about this. And not only that, but it was so intense that he sweat blood on a cold night. As we learn in John chapter 18, verse 18, now the servants and the officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Now, to sweat heavily on a cold night is a sign of great stress and distress. I mean, today is a pretty cold day. If you came into this sanctuary covered and drenched in sweat, I'm sure people would be like, what's going on? Are you okay? It's a great sign of stress and distress. But to sweat blood shows how great this stress was. I don't know if you know this, but if you look it up, you would find that there's a condition called hematidrosis. That's what it is to sweat blood. It's actually a very rare condition, which only happens under extreme stress, extreme physical and mental stress. When Christ knew that he would face the wrath of God on the cross, when he contemplated facing that wrath, though he was God, it was so terrible for him that he sweat blood. The physical pain that Christ had to endure, being beaten, being spit upon, being crucified, getting nails driven through his hands and his feet. I'm sure we know that is very horrible. Maybe you've seen depictions of that before and seen that and thought, this is very horrible. Indeed it is. Obviously, we could not even endure that. But his soul, for his soul to be crushed under the omnipotent weight of the wrath of God, was so horrible that he said to his father, if there's any other way, Father, for this to happen, then let this not happen to me. But his father said, no, there is no other way. And so he went to the cross. It was the wrath that Jesus took. It was that wrath that he took upon himself on the cross. He laid down his life. He was forsaken by his father. And in addition to that, if that weren't enough, if you thought, man, that's pretty intense already. If that were not enough, we're told that the devil and his demons also tormented Christ. This is why Jesus said in Luke 22, verse 53, when I was with you day after day in the temple, you did not lay your hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Now this is the gift of Christmas. Christ coming to be delivered over to death on a cross, to become cursed for us, to be beaten, to be mocked, to feel the full weight of the wrath of God, to spill his blood so that you would not have to. That is the gift of Christmas. Next, I want to look at our unworthiness to receive this gift. Going back to our scripture in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. We are very unworthy to receive this gift. We're very unworthy to receive it. First of all, the first reason why we're unworthy is because it's the blood of God. It is the blood of God that is shed for me, that is shed for you. And who am I and who are you that the blood of God should be shed for you? But yet that you can more see how unworthy you are of this when second you think about that we contributed to Christ's suffering. It's because of our sin that Christ suffered on the cross. It's precisely because of what we did that he was on the cross taking that wrath upon him. You are a sinner, and your sin is disgusting to a holy God. It separates you from him. Therefore, if we want to have a right relationship with God, if we want to have a relationship with him, our sin has to be dealt with. It must be taken out of the way so that we can be with God. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus Christ did. That's exactly what he did. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Look at what it says. It says, he, that is Jesus, himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. This is amazing. this gift that we have. But we continue to see our unworthiness when we think of this next consideration. That every time we sin, like today, we are still contributing to the weight of the wrath of God that crushed Jesus 2,000 years ago on that cross. You know, Jesus, he died 2,000 years ago, but he died for our sin. You mean like the sin we did today, right? And the sin we're going to do tomorrow, and we keep heaping that on. The weight is that much more heavy. It's that much more agonizing. When you lie, when you gossip, when you lust, when you refuse to forgive, when you are proud, when you are self-centered, when you are angry, when you covet, it is that much more. You know, people are easy to excuse their own sin. You know, they say stuff like, well, you know, I'm not like that guy, what he did. You know, my sin's no worse than anyone else's sin. It's not such a big deal. It's only a small sin. And I want you to hear something tonight that we should take home and think about this. No matter how light that you think your sin is, you can think that way if you want. No matter how light you think it is, they are great weights upon Christ. It is that sin that crushed his soul. We cut Christ and make his blood flow when we sin. And I want you to think about this for a second. Even though all of that's true, even though we've done all that, yet Jesus still gives us the gift. Isn't that amazing? Even though we contribute to the horrible murder of Christ, and yet he still gives us this gift. You know, if there was a parent or if there was an important person in your life that you constantly hurt, that you constantly treated horribly, that you didn't listen to, and you even treated as your enemy many times, it would be amazing if that person was even kind to you, right? It would be amazing if they were even like that, let alone to give up their life for you and give you what is most valuable to them. But that is exactly what Jesus Christ does. That is exactly what he does. And that leads us to our next point tonight, the love of Christ and giving the gift. Let me read to you a section of our text again. You were ransomed with the precious blood of Christ. Now, let's think about this. Christ is God. His blood is precious. His blood is infinitely holy, and it shows his love for us in that he who is holy, who is worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise, he who is so worthy would be slaughtered on a cross for undeserving sinners like me and like you. That magnifies his love for you. That shows his love for you. And we see his love in several ways. First, we see it in this, that Christ knew that the wrath of God was terrible, but he did not run away. He did not run away. It is the infinite wrath of God. The infinite wrath of an almighty God. There cannot be any worse wrath than that. That is why when Jesus Christ thought about it, he sweat blood. And yet, even knowing all of these things, Christ still went to the cross. He still went to the cross. He didn't turn away from that. He didn't run away from that. He went forward into that. He could have run away. Jesus Christ could have run away if you had to die for someone that you cared for. But before you died for them, they brought you into a room and they showed you the immense torture that you're going to have to go through. And they showed you the fire that you would be burned with. And they let you see the flames and they let you feel the heat. Even if you cared for that person, you would be tempted to run. You would be tempted to get out of there. But Jesus Christ did not run. Jesus Christ stayed there. When Jesus reached the time of his suffering, do you know what Jesus said at the moment when he saw the flames and he knew what he was going to endure? This is what he said in John 12, 27. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Jesus Christ jumped into the furnace and he felt the fire for you. He was not stopped by the understanding of how much he would suffer. He knew how much he would suffer, and he did it anyway. And you say, well, what's the reason that Jesus would do something like that? Something so intense, something so amazing. I'll tell you why. The reason was for you, because of the love of Jesus Christ for you. The love for Christ is greater than anything else. It cannot be broken. You cannot be separated from it. His love is that strong. We should be like, hallelujah, thank you, Lord, that your love is greater, that you would not run away when something like that happened. In fact, he was not even stopped by the fact, if you think about this, knowing that it was because of me and because of you, because of our wrong and our sin and our rebellion that he had to suffer. That did not stop him from dying for me and dying for you. You know? You have many sins. I have many sins. And yet, Jesus did not hesitate. He did not hesitate to lay down his life for you. When your sin crushed Jesus on the cross, you know what Jesus did? He endured it because of his love. If you knew that you had to suffer and die for someone else's sin, you know what you would do? You would be tempted to leave them and let them suffer. You would say, you know what? I'm not suffering for you. You make your bed, you sleep in it. It's your problem. I'm out of here. But because Jesus Christ loves you, he stayed. He stayed. Jesus Christ's suffering was even worse because he had to be separated from his Father. Christ was always with his Father from eternity's past. Yet for our sake, because of the great love with which he loved us, he was said, I would be forsaken from my Father, and I would scream out on that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? He went through all that because of his love for you. You see, Jesus' love is the greatest thing in the universe. There is no greater love. You will never find it. Jesus says in John 15, greater love has no one than this, that someone laid down his life for his friends, and yet Christ's love is even greater than that. And you say, well, how could Christ's love be even greater than that? You know why? Because he laid down his life for us. You know when he did it? When we were his enemies. He laid down his life for us, contributing to his suffering, and he laid down his life for us. Christ came, and he came to die for us, for me, for you, undeserving sinners, so that we could be forgiven, so that we could become a family of God, so that we could be made clean. This is the most amazing gift. This is why we celebrate Christmas. If it's not why you celebrate Christmas, it should be why you celebrate Christmas and have an amen and a hallelujah and praise the Lord. This is why. Because of the cross of Christmas. I want to go to our last point tonight, our response to this gift. You know, To celebrate on Christmas is a good thing. Lights are good. The gifts are good. Food is good. But we need to remember the gift of the cross of Christmas. Because you know what? If we don't remember that, guess what? Christmas has no meaning whatsoever. None. All the lights, all the illuminations, all the stuff, no meaning, no purpose whatsoever. I don't want to celebrate like that. I'm sure you don't. So what do we do? How do we do it so that we celebrate Christmas correctly? Well, there is only one appropriate response to such a gift that we have given. When you see the enormousness of the gift that God has given to you, there's only one appropriate response, and that is this: to receive it. You got to receive it. The wrath of God that you and I are saved from is so horrible that when Christ, who is God, thought about it, he sweat blood as he thought about it. And yet, if you put your faith in Jesus, you are saved from that. Not only are you saved from that, but you are given eternal life with God forever. This is the gift of Christmas. That's what it's about. That's why the gifts are given, because of the gift that Christ has given to us. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you have not accepted this gift, then today is the day to do it. Because you know what? No one else, you will find no one who will love you like that. No one else will love you like that. No one else can love you like that. Only Jesus can do that. And for those of us who have accepted this gift, I wanted to ask you to use this opportunity to think like this Christmas. Have I remembered the cross this Christmas? Have I? Am I celebrating Christ? Is that really what's going on in my heart when I go to the Christmas party, or we got the lights, or we got the cake, or we got the chicken, or whatever? Am I really celebrating Jesus in my heart? Is that what's going on in my heart this Christmas? Am I living a life that celebrates Christ? Am I living a life that is worthy of the gift that I've received this Christmas? If we keep those things in mind, that is how we celebrate Christmas. That's how we celebrate it in a right way, knowing that you were ransomed from your futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. The cross. What an amazing gift we have. Christmas. Let's pray together. Lord, I just really pray for every heart here tonight. I pray that in our hearts we would truly be celebrating Christmas, the gift that we've been given by you, what you've endured for us. Let us not celebrate a Christmas with lights and illuminations and cake and chicken and forget about Jesus. There's nothing wrong with those things, but Lord, we don't want to forget about you, Jesus. You're the reason for this whole thing. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for us. May our lives be worthy of what you've done. Worthy of the gift that we've been given. And if there is not, then let us repent, Lord. Yes, Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name.